And joining us in studio, Detective Eric Edson, friend of the show, pops in a couple of times a month usually, keeps us on top of scams and frauds, all that sort of thing. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Great, Kelly. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing okay.
Good.
Where do you want to start this morning?
Well, talking about the nice weather, let's talk about summer travel tips.
All right.
We talked about this last year, I think, but just as a reminder to everyone, when you either go on vacation or just travel anywhere, really, there are a couple things to keep in mind because criminals are out there, and the harder that you make for them to get your information or to try to exploit your technology, things like that, the better you're going to be. So one thing initially when you're booking travel, people are getting text messages, emails with all these travel deals. Make sure you're booking through a reputable site, not clicking through links to try to get to a site, because a lot of the ones that you get that you click through the links could be scams, and you pay money for a trip and then you find out that you didn't even really book the trip. You get to your destination. Imagine that. You buy an airline ticket, you get to your destination, and they don't have your reservation because you made it with a scammer. So just stick to the reputable travel sites. Also, when you leave your house, consider doing a mail hold. Mail holds are free of charge. Usually when you have mail building up in your mailbox or packages on your doorstep, that's a sign to criminals that you're not home. And believe it, that people are driving around looking for packages on doorsteps or looking for signs that someone's not home in order to burglarize their house. So if you just go to like Google USPS mail hold or something like that, or go to the Postal Service website, super easy to sign up. You just verify your address. It's free of charge. You can put a start date, end date, and then they'll deliver your mail at the end of it, so you don't have to make a special trip to pick up your mail.
Or if it's better for you, you could just go to the post office, right?
You could.
They can help you there too?
Yep, sure, absolutely. Yeah, whatever's easiest for you, but sure, they can take care of it right at the post office. We were just kind of talking about this. When you're traveling, make sure you're using a credit card, not a debit card or anything like that, because you don't have the same consumer protections with a debit card as you do with a credit card. And credit cards, all the numbers are out there. It's just a matter of time before yours is exploited by a scammer. And if it's caught by the credit card company, or if you notice suspicious charges, you can dispute those, and there's no liability to you as long as you do it within a reasonable amount of time. So as soon as you notice a fraudulent charge, make sure that you're reporting that. But when you're traveling, just making sure that you're not, when people travel, they used to carry like American Express traveler's checks and things like that. That's really just not a great idea to carry that stuff around with you. Even cash sometimes, can be stolen from your hotel room, can be stolen from your person if you lose your purse or your wallet, something like that. So I think the best policy is to bring a credit card along with you, put everything on that. That way you have a lot of consumer protection. And if something goes wrong, you can dispute that with a credit card company.
Good advice.
And then finally, when you're traveling with your cell phone, everyone has them. A lot of places have tried to make it convenient by having charging ports for your phone, USB charging ports. Just be really careful with those in public places. Scammers and criminals can hack into those, put devices behind them that you don't even see. And when you plug your what you think is your charging cord into that device to charge your phone, they're actually downloading or maybe uploading malware to your phone. So like at the airport, hotel rooms, things like that, just be careful with that. The best thing to do is bring a plug-in charger that plugs into the outlet. That way there's no data transfer there. And then also when you're at the hotel or at an airport, be careful of public Wi-Fi. Those Wi-Fi systems can be spoofed so that it might say, Hilton Hotel Wi-Fi or whatever it is, but it's really a scammer that's got a hotspot nearby, and he's trying to get you to connect to his hotspot so that he can monitor your activity or upload malware, whatever it is. So just make sure that you know that the Wi-Fi that you're connecting to is legitimate, and then consider using a VPN. We've talked about VPNs before. That way it encrypts your data, and it's not easy for a scammer to be able to intercept any transactions, financial information, things like that.
Right, because when you're on Wi-Fi, a hacker who knows what he's doing can get into your phone that way, correct?
Absolutely. Like if you're at a coffee shop and you're connecting to a Wi-Fi, even if it's the legitimate Wi-Fi, if it's not a password protected or closed Wi-Fi system, a hacker who knows what they're doing can use that to get into your phone, into your computer, and like I said, either see what's on there or upload malware that at some point it'll communicate with the mothership, so to speak, and remotely he'll be able to control or see your computer. So just be really careful with only connecting to known Wi-Fi, and then when you're doing that, consider using, especially if it's public, using a VPN client to help protect yourself from that, because a lot of data is skimmed from those kinds of public Wi-Fi sources.
All right, good advice. You want to talk about credit freeze? We've talked about this before.
Yeah, I can't harp on this enough, that really the credit freeze is the best protection that you can have against identity theft. It's not going to prevent anything bad from happening to you or prevent you from being the victim of fraud at some point, but it really goes a long way to help mitigate those risks. Credit freezes are free of charge, and until December of this year, you can, in addition to the credit freeze, I should say, is you should be checking your credit, and you can do that for free also. So in order to freeze your credit, you go to each of the three credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and you fill out some information there. And then you can thaw your credit if you want to apply for a loan. You can always thaw your credit, and you can do it for just the day, for a couple days, whatever it is. It doesn't affect your existing credit. That's what a lot of people think. If I get a credit freeze, I can't use my credit cards or stuff like that. That's not the case. It's just any new credit. And a lot of credit card companies will offer this as a free service now, too, where they'll let you know if anything, any activity on your credit report or things like that. So it's important to be checking your credit report, and you can do that for free at annualcreditreport.com. It used to be that you were entitled to one free credit report from each of the three bureaus once a year, but during COVID, they changed that. So you can actually check your credit each week right now until the end of the year, and Congress may extend that even past the end of this year. But it's a good idea to occasionally be going to annualcreditreport.com, which is, in my opinion, the only legitimate place to do that, and to be checking your credit. Look for new accounts that are open. Look for addresses that you don't recognize, that you never lived at before, things like that. And if there are any errors or things that need to be corrected, make sure you contact that credit bureau and dispute those and get those corrected for yourself. You can also sign up for a free service. You don't have to pay to do any of this. People have probably heard ads for credit checking services or people that will monitor your credit. If that gives you peace of mind, certainly you should do that. However, you just know that you don't need to do that. Using annualcreditreport.com and then also a site like Credit Karma, that's a free service that's very reputable that you can sign up for a free account and monitor your credit and your credit score basically on a daily basis for free.
Can't beat that.
No, and that's the proactive thing that people need to get used to doing is right. To just protect their own, you know, be their own kind of police officer and protect their own credit, making sure they're not having information out there that leaves them vulnerable to identity theft.
Yeah, otherwise you learn about it after the fact.
Right.
Quite often, and it's very tough to get your money back, as we've talked.
It is, and if people are exploiting, using your information to run up medical bills or credits or loans, and you don't find out about it right away, you know, you may lose that opportunity to contest that or to have that reversed if too much time passes. So being on top of these things and not being paranoid about it, but just, you know, set calendar reminders. I'd say, you know, like every month or something like that, just log in real quick, check your credit report and making sure that there's nothing new or suspicious on there. Logging into like a site like Credit Karma, like I said, for free. The one thing that I just want people to know is if you don't have a Credit Karma account and you want to sign up for something like that, make sure that you don't freeze your credit first. Make sure you sign up for that account first and then freeze your credit. And the credit freeze is really, you know, the best protection that you can have. And I think you said that you froze your credit in the past, and it's not super hard to do.
No.
And it's easy if you need to thaw it. It's a super simple process if you need to thaw it in order to get a loan, apply for a mortgage, car loan. Let's say you want to get a new credit card, whatever. It just makes the process a little bit more tedious, but that's the extra layer of security that it provides so that a scammer can't just use your information, because all of our information is out there. It's one of those things where people used to think they could protect themselves. You can't. I mean, there's been so many data breaches. Everyone's information is out there. Now you just have to take steps to protect yourself.
Yeah, and you just have to go to each of the credit bureaus, go to their websites, and you know, just there's menus there where you can, you know, freeze your credit. It takes a little time. You got to set up you know, username and password,
right,
and make sure you keep track of what those are.
Right.
But yeah, it's pretty simple to do, and it does give you that peace of mind that you talked about.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's probably only like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not a big chunk out of your day, and you don't have to send anything in or anything like
right.
that. You just verify your identity through some questions, and super simple. So I recommend everyone do it.
And what is this identitytheft.gov
So that's where you can, it's a website that we have on our website in order to report if you have cases where you see suspicious circumstances on your credit report, or if you see stuff that you think is a scam, you get emails, text messages. That's a great place to report that stuff to. You know, the police department isn't able to investigate. We don't have the resources to investigate all of these cases that a lot of times end up being overseas, where the criminal is overseas.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that people can't do something to be their own advocate and to, you know, take care of things themselves, protect themselves. So we encourage people to go to the FTC's website and also to identitytheft.gov. That's the official government website where you can report identity theft, where you can report other suspicious scams that you become aware of, or things on your credit report. And the federal government keeps a database on that, and it's also shared with federal law enforcement. So they could be working a case that involves actors from, you know, all over the country, and your incident is one piece of that puzzle, and it's just a good place, like a one-stop shop, to kind of go to for identity theft resources as well as to report identity theft.
All right, super. And elder exploitation training, you talked about this the last time you visited us, and it's coming up next week.
Next week, yeah. So we're just encouraging, especially professionals that work with the elderly, to attend this training. It's free of charge. I'm going to be instructing it with one of the assistant district attorneys from our DA's office. It's from 8 a.m. to noon on June 16th. It's going to be held at the Fine Arts Center at Lutheran High School here in Sheboygan. We're looking for a good turnout. We hope that we believe it's going to be very valuable training for people that work with the elderly in order to understand trauma, how trauma affects the elderly, how they can become victims of elder abuse, whether it's financial abuse, physical abuse, things like that. And then we're going to teach some principles that people can apply when dealing with the elderly to try to weed out that information, see if, you know, identify signs of trauma, help people that are elderly, because the elderly are one of the largest segments of the population that are easily exploited, especially when it comes to technology and sure. these financial crimes. And also, elderly tend to be victimized more by people that they know. So family members, people that are close to them. So sometimes they don't have the family members or the, you know, people to go to for resources or to report things. So training our community partners, people that professionals that work with the elderly on ways to spot this kind of abuse and these signs of trauma and help these people, I think is really important. And we want to offer that training to the community. So again, next week, Thursday, June 16th from 8 to noon, free of charge. We do ask that people pre-register just so that we have a head count, kind of know how many people to expect. And you can do that on our website. There's a place to do that on our website. But if you just want to go directly to the registration page, it's SheboyganPolice.com/VCREE, which is Victim Centered Response to Elder Exploitation.
All right. So check that out, and we hope to get a good crowd out there for you. That's important stuff.
Thanks. Yep, really hope is. So.
All right. Eric Edson, detective from the Sheboygan Police Department. Appreciate you popping in. Always good to see you, and we'll see you in a few
good
weeks.
Good to see you, Kelly. Yep, you bet. Take care.